You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again a friend of mine, former partner of mine, Chen Lin. We still work together in many ways, less formally, but really great friend, a wonderful guy. Has a beautiful family, and they're very good friends of myself and my wife, Teresa. Chen, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Jay.
Always good to have you with me. Now, I want to ask you just some general ideas, some general questions. Maybe before we get into that, though, let people know that if they would like to check out your letter and subscribe to it, it's chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com. And I should also tell those of you who may not be familiar with Chen, he has a remarkable track record, at least one account that I'm aware of years ago. He parlayed $5,400 into $2.5 million in a period of 10 years. Not too shabby, where you couldn't use any leverage or just straight certain amount of money went in at that time. And 10 years later, it was worth $2.5 million. Chen, that's remarkable. And you've continued to do well primarily with the biotechs. I want to ask you about one or two of your top biotech picks. But before we get to a couple of your specifics, I would like to ask you just in general, what do you think of the dollar and the energy markets, the precious metals markets? Maybe you could just sort of give us your ideas on those three markets as we round out this year, head into 2018.
Yes. Hi, Jay. Thank you for the opportunity. For the dollar, for near term, I see dollar likely strengthen because dollar has been weakened for many part of the year. And relatively, United States, economy is better than Europe, and the rest of the world, basically, most of the dollar index is against euro. So it came down a lot, and it seems like a pendulum looks like want to swim the other direction. Okay. So with dollar strengthened, I'm not very bullish on commodity in the near term. It's only commodity I'm playing. And mostly playing is like palladium, really for supply demand. I have small gold and silver. I think they could be range bound and could be weakened as well. But eventually, for long term, I'm bullish on the gold and silver for the long run. Oil is relatively range bound because as soon as oil price hits 60, the fracking of United States, it's like a machine, right? Fracking machine start to pump a lot of oil to the market. So I think it's a relatively balanced around that, 50 range. So that's itself relatively balanced. Obviously, if we have a big slowdown, it can go down much lower. So I think in the near term, relatively balanced range bound.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is more or less in sync with what Michael Oliver just said in terms of the both the precious metals and the energy markets as well. But the market that you've done extremely well in over the last couple of years, at least, is the biotech sector. How does that look to you right now?
Oh, I feel it's it's a great opportunity. It just gets started. I have, an absolutely fantastic year in biotech. As I mentioned, I was on your, on your show in May, and just look at how many has double, triple, quadruple, right? So it's just fantastic. Right now, I have some pullback, mainly the large farmer. Large biotech and pharma having problem meeting their expectations. That means actually they probably will need to buy other, smaller biotech to shore up their pipeline. So actually I think it's positive for biotech in the long run, especially for small biotech I'm investing. So, that has been a fantastic year in biotech. So I'm looking forward to even better years ahead.
Well, that's good to hear. That kind of reminds me a little bit of the major gold mining companies that have to go out and buy the little guys to shore up their reserves, and a little bit the same thing. In some ways, you know, Chen, the exploration stocks remind me in some ways to the biotechs. I mean, they're high risk, high return situations, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. When I got into a biotech 5, 6, 7 years ago, that one of the key reasons is very similar, strong similarity. You have an asset and you need to raise money. So there's valuation, and then there's also the endpoint, and then there's a lot of takeover in this space. So I was able just using the same strategy I did in commodities, in mining, in energy, the same in the biotech, looking for catalysts, looking for their money-raising events, and looking for their obviously most important and fundamental asset. So just ride the wave.
But, you know, it's not just riding the wave with you, though, because you really keep on top of these companies. You know when they're going to have to raise money, you know what the outcome of that might be, how they are going to raise money. Are they going to issue shares? Are they going to sell some assets? Or how are they going to raise money is so important. And what's going on internally within the management is something that you keep up with very, very acutely. And you do that and you pass that on to your subscribers that I think is most valuable. But one company I want to hear what you have to say about is Sorrento Therapeutics. It's a clinical stage antibody-centric biopharmaceutical company developing new therapies to turn malignant cancers into manageable and possibly curable diseases. This is one that you're really high on. I mean, it's been very volatile. I'm looking at a stock chart here, Chen, going back, you know, a couple of years ago or so, it was $25. It's been down around, $1, $2 recently. $80 million shares. I see it at around $2.70 U.S. today, gives it a market cap around $130 million or so, $128 million. What's the story with Sorrento? Could you talk about what their primary core products are, and then they have some other things, I guess, that they may spin off possibly? Talk to us about Sorrento.
Yeah, it has been an amazing story. I've been with the stock for almost 5 years and riding it up and down. I remember if 20 plus, I was in Europe. I was selling, but unfortunately, I was on vacation. I didn't sell all of them. I sold some. And right on the way back, it's not pleasant. And unfortunately, I sold some on the way down. As I told my subscriber, and I recently am buying it back, you know, just around $2 range. So it seems right now it's start an uptrend. So its technology is quite complicated. Okay, this company going through a lot of different acquisitions. So the in-house, their expertise is really, it's called antibody. It's like it's a special thing. Right now it's very hard, if you know Kite, which is a company, the CAR T company, and then they were taken over for $12 billion, right? What it is that it put an antibody with the T cell together to attack cancer cells. So it's targeted attack. So the antibody will guide the T cell towards the cancer. So for Sorrento, they trying to replicate a very similar thing right here. They instead of using Kite, they have their antibody. They have their own special antibody, CD38, and they trying to do almost the same thing. Okay, but they're early stage. So that's the bottom line. Kite was taken over this year for $12 billion, and Sorrento actually, I make a small correction, that right now the market cap is about $200 million. Okay, with $80 million outstanding, $2.60. So about $200 million. So you see that's a gap. That's the opportunity. So there's a few catalysts. They also used to be in the pain management area. So they have a drug waiting for FDA approval. They should give decision in first quarter of next year. Right? It's about $700 million to $1 billion market, and then they are the second generation of that. So you can see it could have theoretically. I mean, if just assuming if it's get approved by the FDA, $100-$200 million sales, that could worth quite a few $100 million, right?
Uh-huh.
It would be a few times of its current market cap. So that's a catalyst is fixed. It's due in Q1, late Q1 of next year.
Late Q1 of next year. Yeah. So that could be something that Sorrento shareholders want to pay attention to.
Yes, yes. And then they also have a few other catalysts. One of the key catalysts coming up, which market will see, is its company called Celularity. Okay, it's a Celgene. It's a big biotech company, about $100 billion. Okay, with a B market cap.
Mm.
It's very volatile. Last week they have a terrible week, and the share was down 20% because their pipeline issue. But anyway, they're spinning off their whole division. They think it's better for that division to run on its own, right? So that division turn around and say, okay, I have the cell technology from Celgene, right, because Celgene famous for, and we have the best technology. We want to build a next kite, and then we need a good antibody. So they look around to look at what's the best antibody, and then they pick Sorrento. So together, this is public information, and then you can see Sorrento's filing and Sorrento CEO's webcast presentation, I think in a Rodman presentation that said they own 30% of Celularity. Okay, that company, they own 30%. But Celularity, it's a division of Celgene. And when the IPO, of course, depends on the market condition. When the IPO next year, can easily worth billions of dollars, right? Billions with S. It's not just $1 billion or $2 billion. And then Sorrento ran on 30%, right? In the public filing, it's on 25%, but with anti-dilution. So basically, it's minimum from that public reading from that is Sorrento will own at least 25% in the IPO, okay? At least. So that's the situation, and that itself could worth $1 billion. Of course, you know, depends on the market condition. And right now, Sorrento market cap is $200 million.
Yeah. Okay.
You see that those are the opportunity. Two big catalysts coming in the next few months.
Wow.
Obviously, depends on the market condition. Depends on if the market do crash, then
sure.
The bet will be off. But if market continue. Continue current range for the next few months, the stock can do very, very well. So that's basically what I'm looking at. And they also have many other technology, but market doesn't give any valuation. So
yeah.
I don't want
market,
to waste time over here just to
it seems though the market's ignoring a lot of these, most of this upside that you're talking about, the potential upside anyway, Chen. And that's, I know you're a risk reward guy. You're looking at the risks that you sell when you make some money on these things to de-risk your position and so forth. You know, we're basically out of time. I never got around to asking about PanOrient, which is another company that you've been very patient with. The stock hasn't gone anywhere for quite a while. Take a minute to tell us about PanOrient and why you're hanging in there.
Right, it's basic risk reward, right? So this year the drilling program was inconclusive, but it seems very encouraging results actually at the side of the structure. You have a big structure. They are because of the it's a forest, right? It's hard to go to the center. They drew on the side and found very interesting thing. And most likely they will drill next year. And it's a very high risk reward company trading very close to cash. Plus they have other oil producing asset and oil sand in Canada. So its asset worth more, in my opinion, worth more than the current market cap. So you got a free carry of this big, so potentially the one of the largest discovery in the world.
So these are two ideas that Chen has, and folks, if you're really interested in trying to make some money along with Chen, you might want to go to chenpicks.com sign up for a subscription to his newsletter. He also is another company he wanted to talk about. We're out of time. Maya Gold and Silver, but if you want to know about that, you'll have to subscribe to Chen's letter, I guess, because we are out of time. Chen, thanks so much for being with us, and we need to do this more often. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Folks, don't go away. John Rubino will be with me right after the break. He wants to talk about whether we may be facing some serious inflationary problems a la 1970s or worse. Also wants to talk a little bit about the cryptocurrencies and how they are merging now with some of the gold technology, with some of the gold companies like Gold Money, for example. So don't go away. We'll be right back with John Rubino.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.